Shus, Rav Marad Asra, Mamali Lokam of Isov, Zecher Tzadikim Livracha. The mitzvah of being down with Kavschus, judging favorably, the Gemara in Shavuos says is a mitzvah deraisa. We learn from the pasuk of Betzedek Tishpeit Am Yisecha. Actually, a mitzvah deraisa, to judge a person favorably. We all know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, which says, Asei Lecha Rav, Kenei Lecha Chaver. The Vedan is called Adon Lekavschus. Famous Mishnah. Which we can ask a question. That if it's a mitzvah d'araisa, we wouldn't expect to find this in Pirkei Avos. It doesn't say in Pirkei Avos, you should put on tefillin, you should wear tzitzis. Generally, we assume that Pirkei Avos is Mishnah's chasidim. It's telling us things which are beyond the Tayag mitzvahs. Even though there is one Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, Havizor be'kriyesh lo b'tfilah, but as a rule, it's Mishnah's chasidim. So it must be that there are aspects of being down with Kavschus, which are Chiyuv Daraisa, and there are aspects which go beyond, and are in fact Mishnah's chasidim, that Bezus Hashem will discuss a little bit later. There are many milas, many benefits of this mitzvah. If a person is careful to be down with Kavschus, he can avoid many, many pitfalls. He can avoid much Lashon Hara. He can avoid machlaikas. The person will be nimna from gaiva. As we know, that one of the root causes of gaiva is when we compare ourselves to others, and we imagine ourselves as being very, very good, and we see them as being very, very bad. But if we look at others in Adam HaKaschus, we're spared from that too. There's one maila, which perhaps is the greatest maila. If you have the sheet in front of you, we'll read the whole Gemara. But the Gemara tells a story from which we learn a lesson that if a person is dan l'kavschus, in Shomayim they are dan him l'kavschus. And the Gemara tells the story of a person who was dan l'kavschus in the most extreme way, the most outlandish way, the most unlikely justification for what that other person did. And this was the bracha he received. Hashem should dan tan l'kavschus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be dan you l'kavschus. And that's mida k'neged mida. If you judge other people favorably, then Hashem will be the same thing. And in the Svarim that give eitzes, how to be zeicher b'dinan Rosh Hashanah, this is one of the eitzes they give. Be dan other people l'kavschus, but be dan you l'kavschus. It's brought in the Baal Shem HaKadosh that sometimes min Hashamayim, you are shown something that you yourself had done, and the psak that you receive is the psak that you give to others. Because if you're done that person the kafschus, you pass them for yourself the kafschus, and if you pass them for that person the kafchayiv, it ends up you pass them for yourself the kafchayiv. So this is a very, very important mitzvah, very beneficial mitzvah. On the other hand, if a person is not nizir in this, Chazal tell us, ha'loike b'ksheirim, chesh b'ksheirim, loike b'gufo. If a person suspects innocent people, then there are terrible consequences. Chazal learned this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said about Klal Yisrael, v'hein lo ya'aminu li, they're not going to believe me. So the Baruch Hu told him, put your hand in your garment and take it out, and it became tzerua. It's a ras, because chayshu b'ksheirim is like a megufa. So here we're talking about something which isn't just a nice thing to do, but the failure to do this could also have terrible negative consequences. It's important to know that in this idea of being dan l'kavschus, there's an asymmetry. In other words, I have to be dan someone l'kavschus, but that doesn't give a person the right to act in a suspicious manner. In other words, let's say I want to do something which looks a little bit off. And I tell myself, okay, even though it looks suspicious, but this is their problem. They have to be down me, look, have schutz. But we see from Chazal that it's not that way. For example, the Mishnah says in Masech HaShkalim that when the Kayin went in to be Tayrim Velishka, to take the Shkalim to the purchase of the Karbonos, he wasn't allowed to go in with a beggar that had a pocket, or had a hem, or wearing shoes, anything in which he could insert money. Because there was a suspicion that maybe he's going in and skimming some off for himself. And the Pasuk says, the Yisim Nikiyim Yashim Yisrael. That a person has to act in a way which is innocent. A person can't do something to arouse suspicion. There's a Gemara in Yuma which says that the Beis Aftinas, that made the Ketores, they had a practice in their family, despite the general custom, that a kala, a bride, was not mugusema. She didn't wear perfume, even at her wedding day. And that was contrary to the custom. People shouldn't say that they perfumed themselves from the samamani akkaras, which were hagadish. And again, the Gemara says the same idea. And we know, of course, there are many, many things which Chazal asserted, named Marasayan. That's exactly the idea, that people shouldn't suspect that you're doing something which was awesome. So even though mitzad echad, we have to be down people like Havschus, but mitzad sheni, we have to be careful and scrupulous to be beyond suspicion, and that everything we do should be above board and innocent. Any discussion of the mitzvah b'dan kavshus, I believe, has to begin with the famous words of Rabbi Yonah in Shari Tshuva, who says that this mitzvah b'dan kavshus, its exact guidelines depend on the stature of the person that we are judging. And Rabbi Yonah says there are three categories. Number one, if you have a person who is a yirei aleichem, this is a person who is a very, very great tzaddik, great Talmud Chacham. So such a person, there is a chiyuv to be done in the kafshus, even if the scenario was such that it leans more to guilt than to innocence. And this is derived from a Gemara. Gemara Bracha says, in ro'isa Talmud Chacham, she'avar avera b'layla, let's see, you saw a Talmud Chacham doing avera at night, al tahari or achr of the yayin. Don't suspect him the next day, because badly osa tshuva, he still made the tshuva. That means there's no way to justify what he did. You can't say that he didn't know the halacha, he's a talmud chacham. You can't say he was an onus, because the way the scenario presented itself, it's obvious he knew what he was doing. Yet, you take the extreme view, that undoubtedly he did tshuva. And Rabbi Yonah in the Shari Tshuva earlier makes the point that you see from here that you only find ichur ha-tshuva ba'amei ha'aretz. It's only the ignorant people who delay doing tshuva. Talmud Chacham, if he doesn't aveira, does tshuva miyad. And therefore this is the special chiyuv to be done at Talmud Chacham l'kaf schus, even if there's no way to justify what he did, to assume that undoubtedly he did tshuva. And this refers to a great Yirei Elokim. And what if a person who's a Beinoni, a regular average person, which means a very, very good Jew, he tries to do the right thing. Sometimes everybody makes mistakes. So how do you judge such a person? So Ben Yonah says like this. If the scenario is 50-50, in other words, if you can weigh the two possibilities, and they are equal, so then we say there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to be done l'kashchus, and that is what the pasuk of the tzedek tishpat hamisach is talking about. But what if the scenario was such that it leans more to the tzad chayiv? In other words, you can justify what the person is doing in a very, very extreme way, but it more likely is that he's guilty of the avera that you suspect. So then, Rabbi Yonah says in the Shari Tshuva, there is no chiyuv to assume with a certainty that he's innocent, but it at least should remain in your mind a safek. There should be a doubt. But don't jump to a conclusion that he certainly did the aveira. Let it be in your eyes as a safek. This is what Rabbeinu Yonah says. It was interesting that we have to know that for this Beinoni, there are many different ways of Migdala Kafkos. The Chafetz Chaim lists them. If you have the sheet in front of you in the footnote number 2 on the second page, for example, number 1, he may not have done what you think he did. You see him doing something or going to do something, he may not in fact have done it. Number 2, maybe he did it shelo bekavanah. Maybe he wasn't aware. 3, maybe he didn't know that the thing is asur. We're not talking about a Talmud Chacham necessarily. So he may have done something which is asur, but he's oblivious to that. It may be that he knew that good Jews don't do it, but he thought it's only a chumra, it's a min chasidus, and not every Jew is expected to be a chassid. So he assumed that the ikar din is mutar, and therefore he knows that some people don't do it, but halach l'maisa, it's mutar. So these are all ways of being done the kafkutz. But it seems that if you know he did the aveira, you don't have to assume that he did tshuva. That's unique to a Talmud Chacham. But you must say ichra tshuva zulasi ba'ami ha'aretz. But a person who's not a Talmud Chacham, to go so far to say, yes, he did the aveira, but undoubtedly he did tshuva, that you're not mechuyev to do. That already is extreme. And as we said, in the case of a Beinoni, you only have a chiyuv d'oraisa b'dama kafschus if it is shakul. But at least that you shouldn't assume with a certainty that he did not do tshuva, that you don't do. It should at least be a suffolk. And therefore the Chafetz Chaim passage is an interesting halakha. The Gemara says, as a rule, if you see a person do an aveira, you can assume that he's a rasha, and you can hate him. The Gemara seems to say Psachim, Kufir Gimel, and you certainly can tell other people what he did, that they should keep away from him. But the Chafetz Chaim says, but you have to be very careful about this, because even if there's no way to justify what he did, if there's a possibility that he did tshuva, you have to be chayshish for that possibility. In other words, because even though there's no chiyuv to be done l'kafshchus with a certainty, you would at least have to consider it like a safek. And if you consider it like a safek, there's no justification to tell other people. So it's a very, very, very borderline situation. In the case of a Talmud Chacham, you would assume with a certainty he did tshuva. In the case of a Beinoni, it has to be at least a safek, and therefore it's also to tell other people. There are many Achroinim who are medayik from Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avos. Another halacha regarding the Beinoni. That even the Beinoni who you are not mechuyev to be done like kashchus miyikar adin, because it's more naita, the situation leans more to guilt than to innocence, but it is a midas chasidus to be done like kashchus and assumed as a certainty. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah seems to say in his parish on Pirkei Avos. The Shari Tshuva doesn't say that. The Shari Tshuva just says it should be at least a safek and not is miyikar adin. But in Pirkei Avos, he says, it's a midas chasidus, even to judge that person with a certainty of being innocent. And it could be, this is the answer to the question that we asked. If being down the kaschus is a mitzvah d'araisa, or besedek tishpach ha-mistacha, so why do we find this in Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos was Mishnah's chasidim. And that's what Rabbi Yonah seems to be coming to answer. That here it says, Hevidanas kolor m'kaschus. Not only that tzaddik, that Ru'isa Talmud Chacham Shavar Vera Balayla. Even a Benin, even an average person. Here, it's not Me'ikar Adin. If the situation is not Shavuot. But still, the Midas Chasidus, Hevidanas kolor adam. Even in a situation which leans more to guilt than to innocence, it's a Midas Chasidus, then the kafshchus as well. Now we have the third category, which is the category of a rasha. Let's see, you see a person who's muchzak, who's well known as being a Rasha. So what do you assume about this person? So Binyan writes like this. In the Isha who Raiv Mas of the Raya, let's say generally this person is a wicked person. O Bechanto, you tested him. Kiyin Yiras of Lakim Lavavo, and you see that he's not a Yirei Shemayim. So here there's a halacha, Tachriya Masav Udvarav Lakath Chayva. You assume the worst. Very strange halacha. Not only is there no chiyuv ben lakav schus, you assume the worst. Shinemar, because the pasuk of Mishlei, the maskil tzaddik lebeis rasha. The tzaddik understands the house of the rasha. Now, the mefarshim explain that many people think that tzaddikim are naive. No, tzaddikim, they're tzaddikim themselves. They assume everyone else is also a tzaddik. So it's just not that way. The maskil tzaddik lebeis rasha. The tzaddik is very, very clever. He understands. And he looks at the house of the rasha, he sees exactly what's going on. Misalayv rishoyim l'ra. And therefore he tips the rasha to the tzad of chayv. In other words, if he does something which is questionable, you assume it's l'ra. Just mention this in the side, it's an amazing, amazing vikuach that took place between the Chazon Ish and the Balei Musar. Now, sometimes in the Sfarim of the Balei Musar, they talk about the great Rishoyim of the Chumash, the Yishmael and the Esav, and they say that really they were tremendous, tremendous tzaddikim. They were only chayta in adakus. It was a very, very small thing. And this is a theme that you find sometimes in the Sfarim of the Balei Musar. There's a famous letter from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said, no, that was the Rishoyim. Esav says, you're not down the Kapskos. It's whatever you can say bad about Esav, you say bad about Esav. And Luchar the Chazon Ish understood it from this Shari Tshuva. It says up here that if there's a person who establishes a Rasha, says you assume the worst about him. Now it's interesting that there's a lot of discussion in this among the Achronim. I saw cited a shaila as follows. What if you have a person who in some areas is very scrupulous and in some areas is not scrupulous, which is often the case? It's not that there's one metric of who's a tzaddik and who's a rasha. You have a person in some areas of observance, he's very, very medactic. Let's say when it comes to Shemir Shabbos or it comes to Kashrus. And in other areas, maybe in his business dealings, he's cutthroat. He's very, very not scrupulous. So there are Achrayim who say that regarding Shmir Shabbos, let's say, he could be considered a Benini, maybe even a Tzaddik. And therefore, if you see him do something which is questionable on Shabbos, you could be Dan Lekaf Schlitz, maybe even Mechuyim to be Dan Lekaf Schlitz. Whereas, on the other hand, if there's something in his business where he's muchzak to be a rasha, so there to the contrary, you're down the kafkayim. It's not a single measure of a person. A person could be in this a tzaddik, and in that he could be a rasha. There's another interesting thing. How do we relate to not wicked people, but not religious people? Let's say you have a person who's not a shomer Torah mitzvahs. Not a bad person. He could be a good neighbor, maybe even a friend. He has certain virtues, but he's not familiar, he's not learned, he hasn't had a chinuch, and accordingly he's not a shomer Torah mitzvah. How do you relate to this person regarding the chiyuv being down the kaf schus? I just want to show you a very, very interesting thing. As I mentioned before, the Gemara Pesachim says that you see a person doing an aveira. An Aveira which was known. It's known to be an Aveira. So the Gemara says that that person has been of a Rasha. He's Yotz Mechlal Achicha. The prohibition of Los Sistos Achicha Vovavacha doesn't apply. And certainly you can even tell other people about him. The Balatanya says a very, very interesting thing on this Gemara. He says, this Gemara is talking about a person who is a religious Jew. He's an otherwise observant Jew. and he does this terrible aveira, and you gave him to a chacham, you rebuked him, and he didn't listen, he didn't stop, he's continuing to do the aveira. So this is where the Gemara says that in such a case, there may be a mitzvah that hates such a person. But if you have an irreligious Jew, a person who never hasn't learned, doesn't know, so he says, here he writes, it's not shayach, it's not possible to fulfill the mitzvah of Teichacham. You're going to go to this person and say, it says in Shulchan Aruch, and Sim and such and such, Sif such and such, you're not allowed to do this. It doesn't mean anything to him. He has no chinuch, he never learned. There's no fundamental commitment to observance of the halacha. So you're going to go and tell him, this is what it says in Mishnah Berurah. There's no point in giving the conventional type of Teichacham. So he says, here he says, obviously, you're not allowed to hate such a person. It's not a Rasha. It's a Nebuch. He's not a Shem Torah Mitzvah. It's not a Rasha. And to the contrary, he says, this is what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the having the Talmid of Shal Aaron, Ayev Shalom, Bride of Shalom, Ayev Esabrias, Umakar and Lotaria. What does it mean, Ayev Esabrias? What's the translation of the word Brias? Brias are creatures. You call people Brias? Is that how you refer to a person? A person is a human being. He's not a bria. He says, we're talking about people that are brias. They're really totally removed from Torah mitzvahs. But these are the people that they're not rishoyim. They just don't know any better. These are the people that you have to love, and these are the people you have to be makariv. And therefore, we talk about being down the rasha lakashchus. We're talking about a rasha. We're not talking about a person who is not a Shemar Torah mitzvahs. We're talking about a person who learned and he knows and he had an upbringing and he does averus and you've given him techacha and he hasn't responded. So that person is mukhsik to be a rasha. That person, we can say, Sizu ben Yona, you're down the kafchayit. But a irreligious Jew, you don't necessarily assume the worst. Now this is a very interesting thing. I don't want to say anything too controversial, but I'll say that, let's say, if you follow the news and you read about what's going on in Eretz Israel, and there's the question of the Gius and the draft and all sorts of things, and this obviously is a great concern for the community of Haredim in Eretz Israel. It's a great concern for all of us. And you hear what secular Jews are saying. And they say that the Haredim should go to the army, they should be drafted, and whatever. So, very often in the discussion, you'll hear someone say like this, it's not about the army, it's not about manpower, it's not about military needs. It says, these people want to destroy Torah, they want to destroy Yiddishkeit, they want to close the yeshivas down, and so on and so forth. And it may be that that attitude is not justified. In other words, if we're talking about people that we would say are shano pirash, people that themselves learned in yeshivas and had an upbringing and had a chinuch, and nevertheless take this position, maybe it's a different case. But if we're talking about a secular Jew who's had no chinuch, and we know what that is. And it may be that he's speaking from a place of truth. He's saying that it's a war, and there are military needs, and we need manpower. And here we have a big segment of the population that needs to be drafted. We can disagree with them, right? But to attribute to them the worst motives, that it's nothing about the war, it's nothing about manpower, and it's all just about destroying Shemri Torah mitzvahs and Maizda Satira and so on and so forth, that may be something that one has no right to say. I don't know if this is controversial or not, but certainly something to think about. I want to talk about some exceptions to the mitzvah being down the kashkos. Number one, there's an idea that the question of being down the kashkos is only after the fact. Because if a person has done something, and the question is, judge it this way, judge it that way, so then there's an being down the kashkos. But before the fact, It's not a question of how do I relate to a person who has done something. The question is, what can I assume the person will do in the future? Here, we don't give the benefit of the doubt. Here, we are very, very, very careful to be suspicious. For example, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, when the Balei Din are standing before the Beis Din, they should be in your eyes as Rishoyim. Suspect everything they say. Question everything they say. Tosfos Yonah says, not Mishnah. Obviously, if the Beis Din wants to pass me correctly, if they're going to give the benefit of the doubt, whatever the witness says, then the Din won't emerge correctly. So when the Balei Din are standing there, or Edom are standing there, you have to suspect the worst. It says, when they leave after the Dintaira, then you be nachat tzadikim. Then you look them as righteous after the fact. But beforehand, you look them with suspicion. In the Maseches Derech Eretz Rabbah, it tells the story. It says that Rabbi Yeshua once had a house guest. And the house guest, he didn't know who the person was. Not honest. So he put him in the bedroom that was upstairs in the loft, and he took away the ladder. So there was no way for him to come down. Because otherwise he suspected that maybe in the middle of the night, he'll clean out the room, take away all the kalim, and he'll leave in the middle of the night stealing everything. So he took down the ladder. So in fact, that's what happened, that this person was planning on a geneva. He put everything together, he wrapped it up in his sheet, and he was going to go down the ladder. And he went to the place where the ladder was, and he fell down from the upstairs to the downstairs, and he hurt himself, and he was lying on the floor. And the next morning, Rabbi Yeshua found him. And the Gemara says, from here we learn that when you have a guest, you should inhabit him, but you have to suspect him as well. The Sefer Charedim brings a kasha. When do you suspect him? Isn't there a mitzvah to be done on Kapschus? So he brings from the Chassid Yaivetz, in fact, it's in the parish of the Chassid Yaivetz, that Mishnah Pirkei Avos, he says that being done on Kapschus is only after the fact. But before the fact, you have to be suspicious. You have to suspect. Kabdeyu, you honor the person. But this is an important thing. Let's say, for example, you are looking for a business partner. You're looking for a chavrusa. You're looking for a shidduch for your children. And you ask questions, and maybe you've made observations of your own, and you see certain things which arouse suspicion. So what are we going to say? That you're not allowed to suspect the person because it's the chiv dan l'kavshus. So you should make a shidduch with the person. You should marry the person. Doesn't seem correct. So this is what the Achrayim explained, that the Chiyuv Dan L'Chus is after the fact. You have a person, he's done something you don't know, guilty, innocent, so you give him the benefit of the doubt, you're Mesiachis to him, you relate to him as if he's an innocent person. But if it's a question of a future relationship, here you have to be very, very careful. You have to investigate. You have to suspect. And you have to treat all the suspicions very, very seriously. So this is an extremely important exception to the rule of Nidam L'Kavchus. Certainly, I would say, that you can't pass a halacha on the basis of Nidam L'Kavchus. And let me give an example. Let's say this actually happened to me once. I was on a plane flying from Eretz Israel, and it was a flight that had a stopover somewhere in Europe. And the meals they served after the stopover were from the Hechsher from Europe. They weren't from Eretz Israel. And I had no idea about the Hechsher of these meals. So, you know, who can I ask? You know, obviously the stewardess isn't going to give me a reliable answer. So I took a walk down the flight, and I saw two Yidden that looked like Erlich Yidden eating the meal. So can I say, well, after Bidan L'Kavshos, if they're eating it, mistama, they're justified. So if they're justified, that means the hechsher is reliable, and therefore I can eat it. Because you can't pass in the halacha, you can't assume a hechsher is kosher, and the base of it is down like hafskutz. So I asked them, do you know anything about this hechsher? A little bit of an embarrassing question, kind of putting them on the spot, because they were eating it at the time. So the fellow said, Chbinish can rav. I'm not a rav. I can't tell you. So I didn't eat it. But this is an important thing to understand. There was that when you see a person do something, says even if it's a very big person, says you can't make assumptions in terms of the halacha without asking the person. Ask the person. Maybe he'll tell you that you're right. Really, this is not something you should do. There are extenuating circumstances, whatever it is. And this is this idea that in terms of the future, you can't rely on being down the kafschus to relieve yourself of the obligation to investigate. There's another interesting shaila. We know there's a mitzvah of hecheach pechiach samisecha. Rambam paskens, you see a person acting improperly, there's a mitzvah to give him techacha. Now, this is a very, very difficult mitzvah to be mekayim. The Gemara in Erechim says, the tamani yesh b'dor hazeh shodei lo echiach. It's a wonder, is there someone in this generation who knows how to give techacha? And the Gemara says that in certain situations where the techacha will be counterproductive, you talk, don't give it. You don't give it. Because sometimes it's mutuf shu shaygin, but you is eaten. All you're going to accomplish by giving techacha is that person who previously was doing the very b'shoigig, now will do it b'mezid. Or, as I'll say, k'shem sh'mitzvah lemer davar ha'nishma, kach mitzvah shloy lemer davar shen ha'nishma. The same way it's a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, it's a mitzvah not to say something that won't be heard. So, it's a difficult mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah, nevertheless. A person is mukhif to give techacha. What if you see a person doing something, and you're not sure? Is he justified, not justified, innocent, guilty? Does the chiyuv to be down the kafschus exempt you from the mitzvah of techacha? Now it seems that Achrayim assumes that they're pashut. That in the case of the Beinoni, this is pashut. This is pashut. That the chiyuv to be down the kafschus does not exempt you from the mitzvah of techacha. Now in the case where there is no chiyuv to be down the kafschus mi'ikar adin, because as we said, in the case of the Beinoni, if it leans more to chayiv, there's no chiyuv mi'ikar adin, and most of it is chasidus, that's a no-brainer, of course. If there's no chiyuv to down the kafschus, then Nevada there's a mitzvah techacha. What if it's shakal? If the Beinoni has shakal, it's 50-50. Can I say, well, I'll be down the kafschus, and if I won't give techacha? It seems poshut from the Achrayim that they assume there's a chiyuv techacha in that case. Now, why would there be a chiyuv techacha in that case? I mean, after all said and done, if mitzad echad I have to down the kafschus, how could there be an obligation for me to rebuke the person? So I just want to share with you an amazing ha'ara that Rav Chana Basim in Zecher Tzadik Livracha says in the Sefer Kaivetz Ha'aras. He says a tremendous chiddush. He says that all the mitzvahs ben amon lachavera, all the things that we're not allowed to do to another Jew, he says, are all where it's in a hurtful way. But if there's a ta'eles, if there's some benefit, so then these yisurim don't apply. So, for example, he says, let's say we know there's an isur to be makabel lashon hara. Lo sisa shem hashav, it's a place asur deraisa, not allowed to accept lashon hara. Yet the Gemara says, lemechash miboy. If you heard lashon hara, you're obligated to take precautions. And the Gemara says a very, very frightful thing. As we know that the great leader of the Yidden in Eretz Israel after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Gedaliah ben Achikam, was assassinated. And so we fast on some Gedaliah, right, by a person, Yishmael ben Nesanya, killed him. And he was forewarned. He was forewarned. And he said, Sheker ata davar al Shmuel, you're saying Sheker is innocent, he's not coming to kill me. And it says that he violated this prohibition. He should have been chosh, he should have taken precautions. And as a result, the pasuk says that all the people that were killed with him, it's as if he is responsible for their deaths, the Granita says, because he didn't take precautions. L'mechash mi'boi doesn't just mean that you're allowed to take precautions. You will take precautions. And if you don't take precautions, you are to blame for the consequences. But why is this? If there's an issue between Makabal, Lashon Hara, says, why can you take even precautions? You have to discount it entirely. Why is it L'mechash mi'boi? Says Rabbi Chanan, because you can't do it in a hurtful way, but in a constructive way, the prohibition doesn't apply. So therefore, you can take precautions. So, for example, let's say you have an employee, and someone tells you, you know, I think this employee has been embezzling from your business, and that's why there's money missing. So you can't fire the person without investigating, on the basis of this lashon hara, so to speak. You can't fire the person, but you can take precautions. You can supervise the person, even though you, as a rule, are a trusting person. You don't supervise your workers, but that's certainly your prerogative. You hire a worker, you're allowed to supervise him. So that's l'mechash. You're allowed to take precautions, even though you're not allowed to makabel lashon hara. But says Rabbi Chanan, that's the rationale that underlies this halacha. L'tayelas for a constructive purpose. The prohibition doesn't apply. Here's another example. Chazal tell us, we know from the Chumash, there's a laisas of aynoas dvarim. You're not allowed to torment a person with words. So the Gemara says, hi about shuva. Let's hear this, a person who's about shuva. You're not allowed to go to him and say, zchar racham ma'asechah mishaykah. Remember what you used to do? Remember you used to eat this, and you used to do this? You're tormenting the person. The person now about tshuva, and now you're reminding him what he did in the old days. So that's an issue of an oz dvarim. So Rabbi Chanan says, l'chara, every case of teichacha should be an issue of an oz dvarim. Because you go to a person and say, you know, I saw you yesterday, you did this. I'm sure he's not happy to hear it. You know, it's embarrassing. He's humiliated. So what's the heter? You know, every case of teichacha is a case of an oz dvarim. Because obviously, a noaz devarim is when you do it to be hurtful. Because I want to humiliate you, I want to insult you, I want to make you feel bad. That's the issue of a noaz devarim. If I'm telling you this for the constructive purpose of techacha, there's no issue of a noaz devarim. So this is Rav Chanan's yisod. So I would say it's the same thing over here. That the mitzvah of dalakav schus is for the te'elas, for the benefit of that person. You should look at him as a good person. But for the te'elas of his becoming a better person, it's certainly appropriate to give him techacha, and therefore it doesn't exempt from the mitzvah of techiach b'dan l'kav schos. Where that Reinen discussed the shaila, interestingly, is regarding the tzaddik, the Talmud Chacham, where the Gemara says, Al taharer akruv b'yoy. So this person, this great stature, that we always give him not just the benefit of the doubt, but we assume with a certainty that even if he did the worst thing, undoubtedly he did tshuva, over here is the Rechi of Techacha. So here the Chavetz Chaim brings from the Sefer Yad Ketana that in that case there wouldn't be, and the Chavetz Chaim disagrees. The Chavetz Chaim says, no, that even in that case, even in the case of that Talmud Chacha, there's a Rechi of Techacha. But, says the Chafetz Chaim, but in that case, you can't tell other people. Because you can give techacha yourself, but to tell other people, you have to be chayshish for the yisiv lashon hara. And the Chafetz Chaim says that this really is the understanding of a story in the Torah. You know, we have the very perplexing story of Miriam, who spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. And she went to Aaron, and it was Odos, Isha, Kusha, Shishar, Lokach. It's because he married Tzipora, and separated from her, according to Chazal. And Miriam spoke to Aaron about this subject. Chazal say that Miriam's kavana was not to belittle Moshe Rabbeinu. She was taking counsel with Aaron. Maybe there's nights, and maybe there's something we could do to effect a reconciliation between the two. It was a constructive purpose. And yet, she was afflicted with tzaraas for the chet of Lashon Hara. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts her, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not justify what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He just says to Miriam, Madua lo yireisim la dabra ba'avdi b'maisha. Why weren't you scared to speak against Moshe Rabbeinu? You should have been frightened. And the Chafetz Chaim explains that this is the issue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not discussing with Miriam whether Moshe Rabbeinu was justified or not. He certainly wasn't justified. He's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly a Talmud Chacham of great stature, the greatest person that ever lived. To assume that he did something wrong, there could be a Chiyuv Techacham. If you would have gone to Moshe Rabbeinu and asked him, why did you do this? Maybe there's a way to effect a reconciliation, you would have been totally justified. But to tell someone else about it, even for a constructive purpose, that isn't justified. So you went to Aaron, hey, Madhu Allah Yerasim, how could you not be scared to speak against Moshe Rabbeinu? This is so that in the case of the Talmud Chacham, there's a Chiyuv Techacha, but no heter to tell other people, because in that case, you would be saying Lashon Hara without justification. Just want to end with one last idea. Then we talk about the Dalam Kafskos, there's a related idea, which is that even where there's no Chiyuv to be done Lekafskos per se, I'm allowed to assume that the person did the Aveda. There's another question, which is, how do I look at the totality of the person? Because the person didn't have air. And it's a serious thing. You have to be tichacha, and maybe you have to suspect him, and maybe you have to tell other people to beware. But how do you look at the total person? I heard many times from my Rosh Hashiva, he says in Pirkei Avos, says, Al tivaz l'chal adam. Says, don't scorn any person. There's another way to read that Mishnah. Alti vaz l'chal adam means don't scorn l'chal adam, the entire person. Because the person doesn't have air, it's a terrible thing, it's a serious thing. Should have known better. It doesn't mean necessarily that the person is totally mufrach. It says, don't scorn the entire person. It's a serious problem. There is an area where the person is deficient. That's a serious matter. But alti vaz l'chal adam, don't scorn the entire person. And this is also an aspect of the Yudam HaKafchus. If you see a person doing something wrong, it doesn't mean that he's Nikol V'Kadol. We mentioned before that many Achrayim say that yet a person in some areas could be a Rasha, in other areas could be a Tzaddik. When you see a person who is deficient in one area, says you have to, in a sense, minimize that and assume, okay, in this area he's a Rasha. But in other areas he'll be a very, very good person. Reb Nachman of Breslov writes in the famous Maimer that if you do this, you can endless be machzir people b'tshuva. Let's say you see a person, he's a pretty scuzzy person, you know, he's deficient in many areas. If you look at him and you say, this person is worthless, this person is hopeless, this person is beyond help, then you're certainly not going to be able to be makar of that person and be machzir him b'tshuva. Because if you see that, okay, he did some terrible things, but there is a lot of good there, that can be the haschala, that can be the beginning of your bringing him back. There's a famous Shalah Kodesh. He says in the Pasuk of Mishlei, he says, Al Taychach Leitz, Pen Yis No'eka, Tacheach L'chachom V'yahoveka. He says, don't rebuke a scoffer, because he'll hate you. Rebuke a chacham and he'll love you. So the Shalah Kodesh says like this, if you want to give a person Taychacha, Don't go to the person and say, you're a rusher, you're a late, says, all you'll accomplish that way is the person will hate you. But if you go to the person and say, you're such a chacham, such a good person, there's so much positive that you have. And gefir madrega, you know, this is not becoming that you should do such a thing. So that the person will love you for it because you complimented him. Because I know that in yeshiva and schools, this is the olive base, the PTA, when you have parent conferences. You always tell the teachers, always begin with something positive. Always do something positive. Sometimes it's hard to find. But always do something positive, and then you go to the things that need tikkun. But Nachman Breslov says a tremendous chiddush. He says, this isn't only applicable to others. He says, there's a mitzvah to be down oneself, l'kav, schus too. But sometimes a person can be very, very down on himself. And he makes a cheshbon and nefesh, and he sees that he himself is deficient in so many areas. And if the person takes this seriously and really thinks and reviews his life, says he becomes so depressed, so miserable, that he'll sink into a bog of quicksand from which he won't be able to extricate himself. He'll become so depressed and so dejected and so devoid of hope that he'll be beyond salvation. So he says that a person has to be down himself, l'kafschus rather, as well. You have to judge yourself, l'kafschus. You have to see the good in yourself. If you see the good in yourself, then you can tell yourself, I was successful on this occasion, I can be successful on other occasions. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a person whose davening is just not what it should be. His mind wanders and he's distracted and forget kavana and maybe doesn't even say the words as he should. And the day comes and he makes the cheshbon nefesh and he feels that in the area of tefillah, he's a total washout. Total waste. So he's telling himself, you know, was there ever a time that you davened the proper tefillah? Was there ever a tefillah that you said that was positive? He says, yeah, last year Yom Kippur in the Ila, I davened properly. Nila, one tefillah of the year. I davened slowly, I said every word, I tried to have kavana. That tefillah was okay. So the person would tell himself, if I was able to daven in the Ila that way, I can daven on any Wednesday morning chakras that way. It's not beyond me. I did it once, I could do it other times, I could do it again. And if you see the good in yourself, then you can be maxing yourself b'tshuva. You can improve yourself. And this, Rav Nachman says, this is called being down yourself b'kas chus. And the Bali Musar have said this as well. They say that it's a terrible, terrible calamity to be oblivious to one's faults. And it's an even greater calamity to be oblivious to your own mindless, to your own virtues, your own strengths. And if you're not aware of the good you are capable of, then it'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And therefore, the being down the kafschus is something that a person has to apply not only to others, certainly to others, but even to oneself. To see the good in oneself, and that should be a basis, a platform for further self-improvement. So the Ribbono Shel Olam should be the Siyat Deshmaya, that in our dealings with other people, we should see their strengths, see their virtues. When there's a questionable area, give them the benefit of the doubt. Be cautious. Be careful. Again, if you're looking for a shidduch for your children, you're looking for a business partner, kabdeu b'chashdeu, you have to investigate very, very carefully. But certainly after the fact, when you've seen someone do something, then you have to give the benefit of the doubt. I'll tell you, ma'aseh shehaya hafayah. When I lived in Los Angeles many, many years ago, so we lived in a little fourplex. And Baruch Hashem was offering people, it was very nice. And one of the people in the apartment building, this was before cell phones, this was a long time ago, didn't come home for Shabbos. He disappeared Erev Shabbos, and he couldn't be found. And his wife was tremendously distraught. People started searching the neighborhood, who knows what happened to him. Anyway, we were up the whole night, and we were with them. And finally she recalled that he was in the wholesale fish business. And he had a business downtown, and there were freezers. And she recalled that he had a disagreement with one of his employees, and she thought maybe they had a fight, and he locked him in the freezer. Maybe he's, who knows, he's there. So the question was what to do. So we decided that the police were ninjas, by the way. I don't know if it's true in Chicago, but in Los Angeles, if you go to report a missing person, you say, how long has he been missing? 2 hours. He says, come back when he's missing 24 hours, 2 days. Until now, no, this is nothing to be worried about. Anyway, so this is Shabbos morning, about 11 o'clock in the morning. Everyone is coming out of shul, and I'm driving with this man's wife in the taxi down Beverly Boulevard, which is like the main drag of Los Angeles. And I guess people are looking and they see what's he doing with this man's wife in the car. And I don't know what they thought, but I hope they were down the Kaskos. They said, well, they're driving in the taxi on Shabbos morning. It must be that it's a question of Pikuach Nefesh. It would make sense. This person, a clearly younger man, with an Eishes in a taxi on Shabbos. And the second number was, just in case you're interested, that he wasn't in the freezer. We got a locksmith to break it open. He wasn't there. But his car had broken down on the freeway for Shabbos, and he was stuck, and he couldn't get a message to her. There were no cell phones in those days, and he had to walk to a hotel and convince them that they should give him a room for the night. And so Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, came back, and everything was okay. But the point is that you can see something which is the most bizarre thing, and give the benefit of the doubt. Rav Chutna Zecher Tzadik Livracha once said that, you know, every midah can be used for good. Every midah can be used for good. What about a person who has a kruma kav, a person who has a twisted mind? Right? Everything which is supposed to be straight, he sees in a convoluted, in a twisted way. How could that be used for good? So Rav Chutna says it could be used for good for the mitzvah nidan l'kaschus. Sometimes, if you're glad to cop, you see things straight, you'll jump to the conclusion of guilt. So it says, yeah, a little kruma cop, a little, you know, you see things a little odd, it'll be done with kafskos. The Rebbeinu Hashem should, in the schos, our judgment of his kafskos, should judge us the kafskos, and the Rebbeinu Hashem should see the good in us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for having me.